think I can handle it?
Very good then, Mr. McGinnis. Welcome to my world.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice.
And here we go, Gotham fans, another edition of the Hall of Justice. I guess in the Gotham universe, they couldn't have a Hall of Justice because he's not Batman yet. My name is Seth Everett, and this is episode 39, the Gotham episode. We just saw the season finale. I'm not giving out spoilers. I'm going to give Ben McKenzie the chance to do that. That's right, Ben McKenzie, commissioner. Well, he's not commissioner yet. Jim Gordon himself. He is with us here on the podcast. A couple of weeks ago at Atlantic City Boardwalk Con, I had a chance to moderate a panel. And thanks to the folks at Atlantic City Boardwalk Con, they granted us permission to use the audio. So this is a full interview, an exclusive interview. This wasn't broadcast anywhere. I heard somebody put it on, you know, recorded it with their phone, put it on YouTube. That's cool. Got a bunch of views. This is going to get a lot of downloads. This is very, very cool. I know people are wondering, what happened to Victor? Didn't you do a podcast? Wasn't Victor named the co-host? Yes. Six episodes ago, we brought Victor Dandridge on as the co-host. And since then, we've done a Prince tribute. We've had Teddy Sears, Zoom from Flash. And now we've got Ben McKenzie. And you know what? I have a couple of more interviews, too. But Victor's going to be back next week. We're going to recap all the finales. We'll spoil Gotham. We'll do the Flash. We'll do Arrow. We'll do all of those. As a matter of fact, before we get to Ben McKenzie, let's hear from Victor. And then you will hear from Atlantic City, Ben McKenzie. Jim Gordon himself, right here on the Hall of Justice.
Hey there, listeners. It's your favorite co-host, Victor Dandridge, coming to you from the Hall of Justice. I'm supposed to be a monitor dude, but I just had to tell you about the amazing comics coming out of Vantage In-House Productions, my self-publishing imprint. Whether you're looking for all-ages content, for teens and tweens, or something a bit more mature, check us out online at vantageinhouse.blogspot.com and give your comic collection the VIP treatment.
Welcome, everybody. I hope everybody's having a great con so far. This is going to be your highlight. Trust me, this is already mine. My name is Seth Everett. For those of you from the Philly area, yes, I'm the guy that used to be on WIP. I'm normally a sportscaster, but I will tell you this. I'm a comic book guy just like you guys. I'm not going to say nerd because there are too many hot women. We met this guy on the OC. My first time I remembered exactly who this guy was when he was the voice of Bruce Wayne and Batman in Batman Year One. And then this show called Gotham. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben McKenzie. I just want to get one thing out of the way first. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
What's going to happen?
Just get that out of the way.
Just get it out of the way.
Just reveal everything.
But just tell everything. Spoil the whole thing.
I cannot do that. But there's some good episodes coming up. Two left on the season. I don't think you'll be disappointed. There is a iconic group behind the workings of power in Gotham City that may be present at the end of the season. If that's enough of a spoiler for you. and some iconic characters are coming back. And then we've been picked up for season three. And thank you. And I was actually just out in L.A. last week. Was it last week? Yes, last week with the writers discussing season three and some great ideas for season three.
When you were first approached about this project,
yeah,
and you knew the legacy that it was connected to,
yeah,
what were realistic expectations? Was it just tell a cool Batman story, tell a pre-Batman story, or establish this whole world for now a number of seasons?
Yeah, well, I think you sort of hit upon something that we were aware of, which is both the expectations of the series, given how, you know, amazing the fans are, and you guys are amazing, so thank you. Thank you for coming. What the expectations were, and quite frankly, how much freedom we had in a way. You know, I sat down with Jeff Johns, who runs DC Comics, after I was cast as Gordon, and I basically said, "How do I do this?" And he gave me some very good advice, which was, we've never seen Gordon at this stage of his career before. We've certainly never seen him in this imagining of the story where Gordon meets a young Bruce Wayne at the scene of his parents' murder and they bond over a shared trauma. Gordon lost his father at an age similar to when Bruce loses his parents. So we're reimagining that mythology in a certain respect, and yet at the same time we're trying to be very, very faithful to the aesthetics and to the fundamental dynamics of the characters. So there's a lot of freedom, but there's a lot of pressure as well.
One question, and by the way, we're going to be taking your questions. If you want, you can get in front of the microphone. We'll be taking your questions in mere moments.
Yeah.
One question that I've always wondered about, which was the freedoms, because I've heard you say that in interviews. I've done research for this panel.
You did research?
I did a little homework, yeah.
More than me. Let it go.
You didn't research me?
No, I didn't.
The idea of the Waynes. The Waynes are killed in the first episode.
Right.
Was there in any consideration to let the Waynes live a little bit and maybe kill them off in season one or do something to have that parallel story so that your first interactions with Bruce isn't as the morning kid? I can't be the first person to ask you this question.
So you want us to go back?
No.
I'm just kidding.
I'm just wondering, in the iteration that you guys considered, was that ever a consideration?
Well, Bruno Heller, you know, wrote the pilot before, and then he actually wrote the part of Jim Gordon with me in mind, because we had done a pilot the year before that hadn't gone to series. So I was not privy to the conversations, you know, how it started. But I think the idea behind the whole thing was to start at the same place that almost all of the Batman lore starts. Bruce and his parents leave the movie theater at night. They walk in a dark alley, and a man or men approach them and ask for his mother's jewels. She hands them over, or they snatch them from her, and he puts bullets in Thomas and Martha Wayne, leaving a kid there, orphaned. We wanted to start at that same place that the lore starts at, but instead of flashing forward, to when Bruce is an adult, stay in the present. Stay at that time period, jump over to the GCPD, and there you meet our hero of the story, Jim Gordon, a rookie detective who's assigned this new murder case, shows up and is completely oblivious to... I mean, look, he's heard of Wayne Industries. He knows that they, you know, have billboards and they have...
He knew he was a big deal.
Well, yeah, in the same way that you might know that, you know, the Rockefellers are a big deal.
Right.
But you don't necessarily know how deep it runs. And in the story of Gotham, the Waynes are more intimately tied to the power structures of Gotham than you can possibly imagine. And we wanted to stay in the present as opposed to sort of flashing forward. And quite frankly, we wanted to grab the audience with that iconic scene.
My last question, and then we'll open it up to the floor. There are characters that you're interacting with, and then all of a sudden you realize these are iconic characters.
Right.
Eddie becomes the Riddler.
Yeah, yeah.
Even your current girlfriend on the show,
right?
Leslie Lee becomes Leslie Tompkins. That's an iconic name in Batman lore.
Yep.
Are you conscious of those things, or do they just become the characters in a television show?
You mean, am I personally?
Yeah,
certainly. And I think all the actors who have the privilege of portraying those characters are very aware of them, and certainly, you know, it's almost every actor that starts off is pretty nervous about, you know, not screwing it up. They want to make sure that they do something that's that's both faithful to the characters that people know and love, and also new. And I think we've really walked that line pretty well. I mean, I think example of Ed, you know, Corey Michael Smith has just been crushing it as Ed Nygma. And if you've been watching the season, his turn into, he's not quite the Riddler yet, but he's starting to echo that sort of psychopathy or whatever. He's a bad guy, and he's hopefully what you understand from this story, and that's what's great about telling an origin story, is that he can be sympathetic at the same time. He's just he's kind of an odd duck, a bit of a bipolar guy. Right. He might have multiple personalities, and he started off really loving this woman, Kristen Kringle, and unfortunately things went sideways and he killed her.
Right.
And once you do that, it's hard to go back. And so we're showing how all of these characters evolve into either heroes or villains, and some flip-flop back and forth.
And that kid from Shameless isn't the Joker? Are you kidding me?
He was fantastic. Yeah. Cameron Monaghan was just terrific. Our hope is to tell an evolving story of the Joker. The Joker and the death of Jerome creates a cult following in Gotham, which you saw echoes of in this season with when Bruce goes to track down his parents' killer. Yeah. He meets this woman played by Lori Petty, who is a punk rocker who kind of dresses in a similar style as the Joker, and there's this cult sort of punk rock thing that's going on. What we want to show is that this malevolent spirit has been released upon the city, and there's no way to put the genie back in the bottle once it's out. So it's only going to get worse from here on out.
All right, I set the table for you guys. It's your show. My only request is that you come up and use the microphone.
Yep.
And so everybody can hear you. This is one way to start. Somebody get a picture of this guy.
What's the up, Grandmaster of the Court of Elves.
Sorry about that.
Oh, good.
Glasses.
To ask the question, you needed glasses?
First off, Ben, thanks so much for coming. I love the show. I was at the panel in New York. You're awesome. I don't know if you heard about this, but we just got J.K. Simmons to play Jim Gordon for the Justice League movie directed by Zack Snyder. So tell us a little about what's your opinion on that, and what advice do you have for Jim Gordon's for actors who play Jim Gordon in other mediums?
Well, I mean, J.K. is an incredible actor. I don't know him personally, but I think that's fantastic casting. I don't have a ton of advice for people that are trying to portray the role. I think that each actor is going to make it his or her own. I was asked this question when I got the job, whether I was going to try to mimic any of the people that had done the role previously. And I said no. Quite frankly, any of the Gordons we've seen have been older, significantly older. The Gordon that I'm playing starts off as a rookie cop. He's supposed to be probably in his 20s. The commissioner we see is probably at least in his late 40s, 50s. And so I wanted to be free of any restrictions. And I would say the same with J.K. Obviously, Gary Oldman has done an amazing job in the Nolan movies. Now, every actor gets to lend their little contribution to the body of work. And I think that's the privilege of all of us. You know?
Thank you very much.
Sure.
All right. Where's your mask?
Hey, Ben, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How you?
Big fan, by the way.
Thanks, man.
I missed you at Wizard World last week. I got to go see Ben. I'm happy you came last minute, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Big Batman fan.
Awesome.
Okay, questions.
Sure. Questions.
Yeah.
All right.
I have questions. So, any way you think in the future that they would have a crossover with, like, any Arrows or Flash? Because I know in Flash it's possible, you know.
Right.
Kind of as Fox and all that. I know Flash did with Supergirl. Is there any way you think they could do anything? Like, Flash go back to, like, Gotham years later?
We get asked that question a lot,
okay.
And I understand why. The problem that we have is that we're set in the past.
Oh,
we're
okay.
supposed to be, you know, an origin story that doesn't take place in present-day, Gotham City or Metropolis or whatever sort of physical location you want to have in the DC universe. So for us to like cross over, you would have to have, I guess, time travel or something like that.
Yes.
I mean, you could theoretically do it, but I think we're sort of a distinct world from those shows.
Okay.
Makes sense.
All right, next question.
Do we approve of his first one?
Yeah. I mean, I love those shows. It just
I love the show. My only thing is, Bruce is young as all hell right now.
Yep.
How many scenes do we got to go through for him to actually become Batman? I remember I've seen something on a video that said eventually he's going to end with him becoming Batman.
Yeah.
How, like 30 years from now? Or?
A long damn time, man. I got to get paid. I got to get paid. There's no rush. You
got to go to gold.
Yeah,
get the glasses and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
This is not for the show, by the way. This is just me being lazy on hate. No, a long time.
Okay,
If you guys keep watching, a long time.
I will watch, trust me.
Thank you.
Another question. Villain in season 3.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can answer this or not. What kind of villains you think that might be coming? I did see the recent episode. I seen Killer Croc. I think that was Killer Croc, I believe. Riddler went down. I know, but Selina went down there, and she seemed like some guy had like weird eyes and like a tongue. That's got to be Killer Croc.
We're teasing a lot of villains for season 3. I really can't tell you. But I will,
that's understandable.
I will say that they're iconic. There's some fan favorites in season 3.
Mine's pink. I said them like 2 weeks
ago.
They
kill me. Yeah, I can't.
Okay. Easy questions. Your favorite character in Gotham?
Oh, man, my favorite character.
Besides yourself.
Yeah, right. I can't say that. I am actually a huge fan of Nygma. I've always loved the sort of the mental gymnastics that he does and, you know, messing with Gordon. And
yeah.
That sort of...
I kind of wanted to bitch smack him when he was fucking with you.
Thank you.
Last question.
That might not be on
last
the
question. Right. I don't want to cut everybody off.
All right.
Who is your favorite DC and Marvel character, hero or villain in both?
That's a good question. I mean, I actually grew up as a big fan of Iron Man. I know that's kind of hearsay, but yeah, exactly.
Tony Stark.
Okay. I grew up. I had a thick graphic novels of Iron Man, and I feel like I loved Iron Man.
So I guess you team Iron Man, huh?
Well, no. I loved him, man. I thought he was really, really cool.
Any DC favorite characters or villains? Or
I love all the ones on my show.
Awesome. Good question. Thanks, you, bro.
All right, thanks.
Nice work.
What's up, man?
Hi. With Gotham, you guys take a lot of time in character development, which I thought was fantastic. Instead of, episode 1 having the Joker or some sort of grab, you guys took your time and developed your characters. You partially got it when you said you wanted this season, you wanted Gotham to go on for a long time.
Mm.
But you guys are renewed season by season.
Right.
So do you have... in your mind, how long, if renewals weren't an issue or money was an issue,
right.
Like, would you see it being 5 seasons or 6 seasons? Like, is there an end tangentially in your head?
That's a great question. That's a really good question. And I think you understand, both our aspirations and the reality. The reality is we have to be renewed every season. The reality is everybody's got to watch every season. You don't have to watch live. You can tape it or DVR it or Hulu it or whatever. But we are, it's a cutthroat business. And unfortunately, as much as we would like to make the show forever, people got to watch. That being said, we think we have so much story. The question is not we don't have enough story. We have so much story. We could do this thing forever. And we would love to. It's a question of how quickly we tell the story. What we like to do, as you pointed out, and thank you for the compliment, is we like to build these characters slowly, carefully, show how they interact in various ways that are unexpected, or at least hopefully unexpected. I think we have at least 5 or 6 seasons of rough roadmap, but we can go much longer if we need to. I mean, for Jim Gordon to go from rookie detective to police commissioner should not take fewer than 10 years. We can jump ahead in the story chronologically. We can all of a sudden be 2 years in the future if we wanted to. Right now, we don't feel the need to do that. But Bruce starts off being about a 12, 13-year-old boy. He shouldn't become Batman until he's at least in his mid-20s. So we definitely have 5, 6 seasons and hopefully more if people watch.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
How you doing this morning?
I'm good, and you?
Good. I just have two questions. The first one's quick.
Cool.
My girlfriend's right over there. She wants to know how your baby girl's doing.
Aw, thank you. My baby girl's doing great. Thank you very much. That's very sweet.
All right. Now for the nerdy question.
Yeah.
In New 52, Batman forgets that he's Batman, and Commissioner Gordon has to take over as Batman for at least, I think, 9 issues.
Right.
I mean, it's probably not going to happen in the show, but is there any way maybe that could be mirrored in the show? I wouldn't say no.
Right. I mean, we could mirror that. We can't do it because, again, this is a prequel to Batman. This is not a Batman origin story. It's a Bruce Wayne origin story, but it's not a Batman origin story. By the time we get to Batman, the show is run its course. But we can definitely mirror it. And that's kind of what we're doing, or trying to do a lot of, is foreshadow the eventual need for Batman by showing Gotham City through the eyes of the precursor to Batman, which is Jim Gordon, this cop. You know, what he cannot do as a lawman is seek vengeance and retribution upon, you know, the evildoers of Gotham. He can't actually just become a vigilante like Bruce, you know, will ultimately become. So we're showing all his limitations. So in that sense, Jim is the proto-Batman. He is the Batman before there's a Batman. We're showing why he fails, effectively. So that's kind of the story. But yeah, there will be times when Jim, obviously he's gone outside the law already, and he'll probably do that again. Soon.
Thank you so much, Ms. McKenzie.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm a huge fan. Welcome to Atlantic City.
Thank you.
In the last few episodes, we see a lot of characters come back, like Galavan, Mr. Freeze, Firefly, and rumored Fish should be coming back really soon. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on all of this, like all these characters coming back all of a sudden?
Well, we want to, you know, make sure that the final episodes of the season are action-packed. Like I mentioned before, every season we have to be renewed, so every season we want to really kick the end into a new season. We also want to play with the expectations of the audience and understand that there is always the possibility of any character to return. You know, Hugo Strange's laboratory is obviously an iconic part of the Gotham world, and so what better place to have all of these bad guys reemerge from? But that's not, you know, just because that situation may be coming to a head at the end of this season doesn't preclude us from doing that again. And no one's ever dead in Gotham, not forever. You know, that can always come back. I think that's what we all want. You know, we want to have some freedom to these characters we love. We don't want to just see them die once, you know, die multiple times if we need to.
Thank you.
Sure.
Hasn't there been like a lot of talk shows and a lot of announcements about Fish Mooney's return?
Yeah, like Fish is coming back. Okay. I wasn't trying to be.
I thought you were
promo.
Like giving us a red herring, like you were tricking us the other way, like they fooled you.
Mm. I think she's in the promo for the next week's episode, so I don't think I'm breaking news here. Yeah. Jade is coming back. Fish is back.
Hi. Thank you for coming. I know everybody said that. Anyway, I have a question.
No, thank you. I always like to hear it. It's all good.
What's been your favorite episode to film and be involved in of Gotham?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, the pilot will always be, you know, fond of my memory because it's such a – you can't get to the series part unless you do the pilot part right. And so there's a lot of pressure, and it definitely all bonded onto that. This season I was really happy when we were able to do episodes that were a little different for us and different from, I think, a lot of superhero shows. We did an episode where Jim goes to prison and Oswald's discovering his father. And so it was really an episode – solely focused on two characters. You know, it was a much more contained episode. It was much more character-based, slower in a way, but hopefully, you know, rewarding emotionally for the fans, that like hardcore fans who watch. And that was really fun for me. It was a way of twisting and turning Jim into a new version of himself by the time he emerged. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to do more of that in future seasons, focusing on one or two characters at a time for an episode. I mean, a previous fan was mentioning the slow burn on these characters. That's what we want to do. We want to show them develop into really interesting and complex characters. So that was fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that another one? Is that an Agent Carter costume?
No. Well, it's Thor.
Oh, Thor. Okay. Nice.
Partially, I also feel like it should have been Captain America, though, because...
It just has that look, yeah.
Anyway, it's awesome.
My other question, if I can ask it, is sure. What got you into acting?
Oh, I started in college taking some classes. I was a little bored and wanted to meet girls. So it worked.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We should note to everybody here, and I'm sure you heard as well, the comics industry lost an icon today. Darwin Cook passed away today. The amazing artist, writer. All you have to think about is DC, the new frontier. I would be remiss. I didn't start the panel by saying that, but I would be remiss if we don't give a round of applause for the work of Darwin Cook.
See, now I start off and I'm sad. Oh, by the way, I did have
nice transition.
Yes. quick question regarding you've seen The Dark Knight before, I assume. So,
yes.
Are you guys planning on developing the relationship between Harvey Dent, Jim Gordon, and Batman eventually?
Yes. Yes, we hope to. That was the plan. Yes, that's the plan. You know, Harvey can't become Two-Face until Batman exists. So it's all a lead up to that. But the hope is to have Harvey appear at critical moments in the series to show the both the friendship between him and Gordon and the rivalry as well for the affections of Bruce.
Right. Well, one last thing. Regarding, you had one episode with Scarecrow, and there's been, you've seen the Joker, so everybody's waiting for Harley Quinn. Have you guys been talking about that, bringing Scarecrow into it and possibly having little hints at Harley Quinn?
There have been discussions.
All right.
Thank you. Cheers. Hey, man.
Hey.
What up?
What are your favorite Jim Gordon iterations and stories?
You mean of previous Jim Gordons? I mean, actually, you know, Bryan Cranston did the voice of Jim Gordon in Batman Year One that I did, and he was, as you would expect, phenomenal. You know, Gary Oldman was terrific. I grew up actually watching the old Adam West show, so, you know, I've loved all the Gordons, and I don't mean to be political. I really do. I think they all fit. What's great about Batman is, you know, he's kind of our mythology, our American mythology, so whatever generation, you know, we're in interprets their Batman and their and likewise their Gordon to fit that generation. And we're in a maybe a bit of a cynical age and a bit of a kind of rebellious age. And so what better Gordon to have than kind of an ass-kicking Gordon, like I like to imagine myself. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
When you did Year One,
yeah.
Did you read the book before you did the voice acting? What was the process?
Yeah, I'd actually already read the book, which was great. I mean, I loved that growing up. And so I familiarized myself again, you know, reread it. And unfortunately, you know, it's just one of those funny things. You go in a booth by yourself. So I wasn't really interacting with any of the other principal cast. I think I met Brian at Comic-Con in San Diego. But it was a hoot, you know, and to do the Batman voice and to, I mean, what a treat, what a treat.
That scene where he dives in on that dinner, dinner. I mean, are you kidding me?
It was so much fun.
So good.
Yeah, it's so much fun, and you do feel pressure. I definitely felt pressure. I mean, you know, it's quite a legacy to uphold, but it's really fun.
Yes.
Hi.
If you weren't Jim Gordon, who would you be on the show?
Well, you're wearing a girl's rule shirt, so I think I'm going to have to go with, like, Selena Kyle or somebody like that. I mean, that's pretty badass. You rock. I hope everyone gets to see your costume. That's awesome.
Thank you for your time.
Aw, you're welcome. Girl's rule.
Nice job.
Hi, Ben.
Hi.
How are you? I love you as Jim.
Thank you.
You already kind of touched on this, but I wanted to ask if there are any characters that don't have any plans to come back in the foreseeable future. Are there any that you want to see come back?
Oh, ones that we don't plan on.
Ones that you don't plan on having coming back anytime soon. Is there anybody that you want to see come back?
Oh, God. I mean, I'd love, you know, I don't think there's anybody that's hit a false note at this point. Oh, man, that is a really good question. I don't. I'm so
Take
sorry.
Your time. I have more time.
No. But they don't. They don't have. I think everyone who's come on has done a really, really nice job. I do think actually a couple people ago, he was mentioning the Scarecrow, and the son of the Scarecrow. And we've already established that guy. So maybe he could come back as a young version of Scarecrow in the future. That'd be cool.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Hi, Mr. McKenzie.
Hi. Scarecrow, yeah.
Just like a quick question so far. What has been your favorite episode to like film?
Well, like I said before, the episode, I guess it was 15 of this season was a lot of fun because it was a departure for us. They're all fun. They're all good. But that one stands out. And the pilot. And yeah.
All right. And another thing I wanted to ask was, do you feel that there's like more pressure, any differences working on a show like Gotham that has an audience that already knows its history and its backstory versus a show that is being uniquely made?
No, I mean, hopefully everything you're making is unique in the sense that you're making it for the first time yourselves. Definitely there's a little more pressure to meet the fan expectations, which we felt at the beginning of the series. I think by now we feel like we're doing pretty well. And people are digging on it. And to the extent that that things aren't working, we try to fix them. You know, we changed the show quite a bit from season one to season two.
Yeah.
I think for the better. I don't think we ever intended to make a procedural show, like with the crime of the week, but we got stuck in that. And we didn't want to do that anymore. We wanted to do a serialized show with new characters and long-running stories and, you know, complicated relationships. And so we're definitely doing that. We're not going to change.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi.
I want to know, what are your thoughts on Dawn of Justice?
Oh, I actually haven't seen, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so you probably haven't seen Civil War either.
Nope.
Oh, all right.
They're going to throw you out of here.
As I have a new baby, I haven't seen anything, man. I don't get out.
I guess it's a tribute to the broad appeal of the show. I've got three generations of women back home texting me questions.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Interestingly, I'll give you the same question that my 21-year-old daughter, who's finishing finals, and my mother-in-law, who's older, ask, and that is your relationship with Barbara. I'll clean up my daughter's question. Is there a chance that you will marry Batcrap Barbara?
Yeah. Marry? Maybe not. Will we be faithful to some core tenets of the mythology? We might.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Hopefully that's a good tease.
Another twist because her name being Barbara, there was the assumption that it was going to be something where they would have a kid, it would be named. Like that's a lot of twists and turns.
Yes.
Do you know that beforehand? Or do you find out when you get the script and go, oh?
Well, no. I mean, we talk about it. You know, it's a very collaborative team with Bruno Heller, who created the show, Danny Cannon, who's our main director and also a writer, and John Stevens, who's our third executive producer. We talk about it, and it's not a surprise, but there's definitely a lively discussion as to how to work in the fact that Jim and Barbara have a daughter named Barbara. We're going to figure it out.
Yes.
Well, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And I remember in the episode where Jerome was introduced, we saw Dick Grayson's parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if we might see any of the parents of any of Batman's future sidekicks, especially since two of the future Batgirls, Cassandra Cain and 70 Brown, have parents who are super villains, so.
Yeah, we might. Yeah, we definitely might. You know, we dropped that Easter egg about the Graysons in season one. That has yet to, you know, bear fruit in future episodes, but we definitely can do that. And we can have him interact with the parents of a lot of future Bat compadres. We can definitely do that.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, so glad you could be here.
Yeah.
My question is if you are not really allowed to tease anything coming up,
yeah.
but you're constantly doing things like Comic-Con and interviews and that sort of thing, how do you keep track of where we are and what's aired and what's yet to come since you guys are probably so far ahead?
Right. Good question. I do a poor job of that. but I've learned over the years that discretion is the better part of valor. You just want to make sure that you're not revealing too much, because then I get a bad call from Warner Brothers. They don't like that. So how do I make sure I don't give away the store, but I give you guys a little something? I flirt. That's how I do it.
Makes perfect
flirt.
Sense.
Flirt. There you go.
Hey, Ben, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I met you last year at Wizard World, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
how you doing, man?
I dragged my dad with me, so that was awesome. So thanks for coming to that, and
sure.
Thanks for coming here.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So I just have one question. Will we ever see the return of Renee Montoya? Possibly, like, the question?
Yeah, we could. We could. Yeah. I think we kind of deviated from that after the first half of season one, because we realized that people really wanted to see more of the villains and a little less of the internal machinations of the GCPD. But, yeah, Montoya can definitely come back. Okay. And Alan, Crispus Allen, could come back, too. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, awesome. Thanks again.
For sure.
I know we're going into some repeats. Just if you got first-timers, just make sure you step up. Go for it.
I'm sorry.
No, you didn't do anything wrong.
Smallville was on the air for about 100 years, and we got 20 minutes of Superman in costume. Yeah. Somebody before mentioned the possibility of an ending to Gotham being, you know, Bruce Wayne becoming Batman.
Right.
You touched upon the possibility of possibly doing the Harvey Dent with Batman, actually, as Batman. So I guess my question is it hypothetically possible to have seasons of Gotham exist after Batman has matured into Batman?
Oh, well, no. What I said was Harvey Dent cannot become Two-Face until Bruce is Batman. So we're sort of precluded from developing Two-Face in Batman's relationship, but we can deal with Harvey Dent and Bruce Wayne and Jim Gordon. Look, there's nothing stopping the powers that be from redoing their deal and becoming a Batman show in the future. But as it exists now, it is an origin story pre-Batman.
Okay.
So that's as I understand it anyway.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Smallville wasn't on 100 years.
It was on 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
Which is just long enough for me. Then I can retire. I can come see you guys every couple weekends. I'll live a great life. So let's do 10 years, huh?
I just have one more question.
Sure.
Are we going to see more of Poison Ivy? I haven't seen her lately.
Yes, we are.
Is she going to be as more of a villain or just like a child?
Well, she's not going to be a good person.
I mean,
her name is Poison Ivy.
More,
what do you think?
More action. It's Lena now. She's just doing all types of flips and jumps and all that. You know, I want to see some more Poison Ivy. Her, like,
you will. The little girl who plays Poison Ivy, Claire is her name. Came to a read-through. We hadn't seen her in a while. She brought cookies for everybody.
Wow.
But because she's Poison Ivy, I did not eat those cookies.
Okay. Thank you, boss. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. Hey, man.
Hi. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for being here.
Sure.
I got two questions. Do you usually see all the class? I know it's different. Some episodes are different. Do you see majority of the cast or all the cast? How is, like, the camaraderie? Is it, like, the core that you see, or do you see everybody?
Do I? What do you mean? Do I see them?
The cast,
all?
Though.
Yeah.
Do you see majority of them, or it depends on the episode? I guess.
Oh, yeah. We do read throughs. We see everybody comes to the read throughs, so we can read the script and give our notes and our thoughts and interact. I actually made sure that we did that. Some shows don't do that. I insisted that we do that so that we can maintain a core camaraderie amongst the group, because it is a big cast.
Yeah.
No, the cast gets along really, really well. You know, it's been cast. The show has been cast beautifully. You know, our casting directors come from Breaking Bad, so they are really, really good casting. Thank you. And I believe Walking Dead, and I don't know. They've done amazing stuff. We all get along really, really well. We don't get to see each other all the time because different plot lines go to different places. Yeah. But every other week, we sit in a room in a studio in Brooklyn and read a new script and laugh and, you know, eat some bad food they provided us and enjoy it. So, yeah.
Because when you see it, so you guys are awesome. The show's awesome.
We get along great, and it was really important to me. This is my first show I've been, like, the singular lead of a show after having done a couple other shows where it was a little bit more of an ensemble. And it was very important to me as the kind of the head of this thing to have that vibe. You know, some shows can be a little – people have different disagreements or whatever. We want to have a good vibe on set, and we do, and so I'm happy about that.
And my last question is, do you get a chance, I know that you have a baby, you get a chance to watch the other superhero shows? Do you have any favorites? Or you?
Man, I really haven't. I mean, I've seen a little bit here and there, but not much. Yeah, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
What about the kid, the young Bruce Wayne?
David?
Is he ever happy?
He's the sweetest young man you'll ever meet. He's completely happy in his actual life. They just task him with being Bruce Wayne, so he's got to be morose all the time. But no, he's like thrilled. I mean, he's a teenage boy playing Bruce Wayne. Like,
but he gets the legacy of the whole thing. He
oh yeah, that's yeah, crazy. Yeah. He gets it. Yeah, for sure. Hey man.
Hi. How are you?
Good. You?
I'm good. So I didn't realize you had collegiate experience acting. So do you have a decent amount of live theater under your belt?
I mean, college live theater, yeah.
So did you have any roles in live theater that you really enjoyed, or how does that compare to what you're doing now, which is obviously very different?
Yeah. I mean, I did. I don't know that many people that are interested in hearing that, but I did have some experience. Oh, you? Okay. No, I had a great time. I think acting training is acting training. It doesn't matter whether you're in front of a camera or on a stage in front of 2,000 people. Or in the case of college theater, if you're on a stage in front of an auditorium of 400 seats that's 20% filled and most of them are sleeping. And their parents, exactly. And they've been there, they're there because they have to write a paper on it and they're still asleep anyway. You have to get up there and you have to perform. You know, at the end of the day, we're all dancing monkeys for you guys to enjoy. I enjoyed my classes at the University of Virginia, which is where I went to school, and I learned a lot from them. And then I was thrust into the real world, and you got to sing for your supper, and you end up in a room smaller than this in front of a couple of people who are sort of looking at you like they could give a shit less who you are, excuse if there's any kids here. And you got to, you got to perform. No, it was great. I definitely recommend for anyone who's interested in acting, study, because there's no point in thrusting yourself out there into a pretty brutal profession unless you really know what you're trying to do.
Awesome. And yeah. Just one follow-up. Are there any roles out there that you see in live theater or in musicals or anything that you're like, oh, I'd really like to stick my teeth into that?
Oh, well, I grew up reading some of the sort of classics of American realism, like Tennessee Williams is a huge favorite of mine, so anything in his body work. I did a production of The Glass Menagerie in L.A. that had come from New York, playing the Gentleman Caller. That was a lot of fun. Eugene O'Neill, a lot of that Americana. Cool. Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey. I was wondering if eventually you guys were going to make whoever killed Bruce Wayne's family the Joker.
Ah. I don't think that we had planned on that per se. But we do have, a way of sort of, we want the Joker's origin to interact with Bruce's development. And you saw it in the season when he's trying to track down the man who actually was contracted to kill his parents, Matches Malone. He interacts with Laurie Petty at this punk cult club, which is a cult for the Joker. So we want to see those origins, interact and diverge and interact again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Got time for a couple more.
I'm thrilled you're here because I didn't see you at Wizard World, and when they came out that you were coming here, I was like, oh my God, yes. So thank you for coming.
Sure.
My question is going to date me because of how long I've been watching you on the film scene.
Okay.
And my question is, when you did Junebug, uh-huh. How did you foresee yourself going into these different, television shows and different quirky kinds of storylines and things like that? I mean, that's such a different type of genre, obviously, film and the seriousness of that movie. And then now your path has just kind of taken you into the superhero world.
Yeah.
And I was curious as to where your mind was as your career was going, whether you even foresaw that or it was kind of by chance that you had these offers and was it a calculating decision or just
so much of it is chance.
Yeah.
I I feel like as actors, you know, again, we sing for our supper, and we are constantly
audition.
You know, we're constantly looking for whoever will hire us. The first question, you know, whenever people ask me, like, what do you look for in a role, my answer is always, like, someone that actually wants me to play that role. It would be the first thing I look for. It's just, you know, it's the...
Well, it's been fabulous to watch
your
growth. It's
thank you very
fabulous.
Much. I appreciate that. Thanks.
Hi, I don't know if I mentioned my name. My name's Michael. I'm from Jersey. I did want to ask about a certain... Ever since the beginning of the show, I've always wondered about a certain demon's head. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe Ra's al Ghul.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know. I keep having this recurring dream in my mind that you, Jim Gordon, are going to eventually go up against Ra's al Ghul. And do you think Ra's al Ghul ever coming into the show could be a possibility?
Yeah, it could be. I don't know of definitive plans at this moment, but yeah, absolutely.
Thanks a lot. You're awesome.
Thank you.
All right, last one.
Awesome, man. Okay. Hey. So I guess it was around sometime in season one, they had like that Viper drug.
Yes.
And like it made people really strong. Like as the direction that the show's going is like that whole supernatural aspect, like something that you guys don't want to approach, or is it like a budget thing? I'm just kind
of
curious.
Not a budget thing. It's a question of what we want the tone of the show to be. Yeah. And we want to try to keep it grounded in a certain reality, a heightened reality, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And yet we want to play with it and have fun with it. So what we're hoping to do in the future is have like what's the word? We're hoping to have kind of concepts like Strange's Laboratory appear that can change characters, give characters a rebirth, manipulate them. And we also want to keep it fresh, and we want to keep it within the mythology. So concepts like a virus aren't out the window. It just we want to try to work them into the mythology that already exists.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
You know, you mentioned you hadn't seen Civil War. You mentioned you hadn't seen Batman, Superman. I'm guessing you saw Deadpool.
Yeah, I did see Deadpool. I did. It was good.
And I'm mad at myself for not having that line sooner.
Yeah, it was a good movie. You guys should see it if you haven't. I imagine most people have seen it in this room.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ben, thank you so much
for
doing this.
Thank you.
Ben McKenzie.